This is John Warden, Colorado Springs. Let's continue our studies in Colossians. We're in the last chapter now. And beginning with the second verse, we read, "Continue in prayer." The word "continue" means to be strong toward. Make this an important thing in your life, for it is important. All spiritual life depends on right relationship with God. And we maintain a right relationship with God after we're saved by means of the reading of His Word, which has been exhorted a great many times in this epistle, and by prayer. Now, prayer is more than just asking and getting certain things. Prayer isn't just phoning your order in, as you might at the store, but prayer is communion with God, talking over with God all of the things that you need to talk about to God. It would include confession. There ought to be some time spent at the beginning of your prayer in thanksgiving and praise and worship. We ought to not forget to tell God that we appreciate the things that He has done for us. There ought to be some of your prayer time spent in intercession for others, a great part of it, in fact. I hope that you have a prayer list, whether you have it actually written down or not. I hope that you have a list of people that you pray for regularly. So your prayer time as a child of God will largely determine what kind of a Christian you're going to be. It's been said that this is a thermometer of our spiritual health. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. The word "watch" here means to keep awake, to guard against listlessness, and to guard against unbelief, to be alert in your prayer. And always to be thankful. One of the translations of the wonderful verse in the fourth chapter of Philippians, where he says that we are to be in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, making our requests known unto God. One of the free translations of that is, prayerful in everything, anxious in nothing, thankful in everything. So whatever comes to us, we ought to be thankful to God, because we know that He knows the best and He gives us the best. It may take more faith than you have to thank God for some of the things that have come into your life, but if so, turn to the Lord in honest confession of your lack of thankfulness and ask Him to help you to be thankful. And while you may not see the reason for it just now, remember that God never makes any mistakes. He's too wise to make a mistake. And He is too good to be unkind. Now, in our prayer, the Apostle Paul specially asked for prayer for himself. And I'm sure the same thing would be done by many of our friends today. Perhaps some have asked you to pray for them. I hope that you will pay attention to this, because this is a real service that we can render to each other. Withal, praying also for us. Paul here including the other with him with whom he had included in his salutation, undoubtedly. And all of these servants of God needed their prayers. Now, notice that he did not pray that they might get out of prison, though he was in prison. He says in the end of verse 3, "For which I also am in bonds." He was in bonds. He was in prison, in the Mamertine prison, and most uncomfortable. In writing in his second letter to Timothy, he says, "Be sure to bring my coat before you come, when you come before winter." So he needed extra clothing. He was uncomfortable there, but he never once asked them that they would pray that he would get out of prison. Rather, he said, "Pray for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance." Now, this doesn't mean that he would have a place to preach, because he was in prison and he wouldn't have any such opportunity. But he was asking that there might be some place for the Word of God to enter. His job was to tell it out, and he was telling it out to all those around about him. And some were led to Christ there in the prison. Among these were the young man who carried this letter back to the Colossians, Onesimus. And there were others who were led to Christ in the prison. But what he was asking for was an open door into the ears and hearts of these people with whom he came in contact. And I wonder if I'm speaking to someone just now who has kept the door of his mind, the door of his heart, the door of his life, closed to the Lord up until this time. You see, you have a responsibility to open the door to let in the good news of the Word of God. You have a responsibility to receive the Word of God. You have a responsibility to read it, because you live in a country where the Bible can be bought very cheaply, where anyone can consult it anytime he wishes to by simply walking into a library, where our hotel rooms have Bibles in them. You have a tremendous responsibility. And if you have never opened your mind and opened your heart to the Word of God, you have a responsibility to do so right away. Now, Paul prayed that there might be many of these open hearts and open minds so that he could speak the mystery of Christ, for which I also am in bonds. The mystery of Christ was taken up back in the first chapter, you remember, in verses 26 and 27. And there he tells us that the mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is, that the Gentiles as well as the Jews were being brought into one body, and the Lord Jesus Christ indwelling them, forming a new thing which had never been on earth before, that is, the church. In New Testament times, the church came into being, and this was said to be a mystery up until the time that it was revealed through the apostles. Now, it was a mystery at one time, but it's not to be a mystery any longer, because he says in verse 4, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. So the truths that were hidden in times past are now made manifest to us. We can understand them. We can know them. And we who are Christians have a tremendous responsibility to read the Word of God and to study it and to get to know the revealed truths that are therein. If I'm talking to a Christian who is not very familiar with his Bible and who excuses himself because he says that's our preacher's job, let me tell you that God is going to hold you responsible for the truths that you could know as well as for those you do know. And you have a responsibility to study the Word of God and to know these things which are now manifest. Now Paul says, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. A Christian has a responsibility to speak. I say a Christian, not simply an apostle, not simply a preacher or a missionary, but every Christian has a tremendous responsibility to speak the Word of God. We ought to be conversing about it. We're told in the 8th chapter of the Acts, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the Word. Now, the word for preaching there is not the word for standing up in a pulpit and heralding it, but it's the common word for gossip. They that were scattered abroad went everywhere gossiping the word, talking about it, talking over the back fence, talking to the man in the street and in the marketplace, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, talking about the good news of the gospel, sharing with others the wonderful story of God's redeeming grace. I have a responsibility. I owe a debt to all my fellow human beings because the Lord has told me these things, and as the Apostle Paul said, I ought to speak. Now we're told not only to speak, but we're told to walk in verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Them that are without means those who are still unsaved. And so we who are saved have to act in such a way, live in such a way before those who are still unsaved, so as not to be a hindrance to them, but rather be an attraction, adorning the gospel of God, he says in another place. Walk in wisdom. All through the epistles of Colossians, we have a great deal said about the wisdom of God. And in the Lord Jesus is hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Everything that we need to know of God's plans and purposes are revealed to us in the Word of God. Now, this is not simply something to cherish up and treasure up in our minds, wisdom just to be retained in the intellect, but this is something that's to be used in our daily walk. Walk in wisdom. That is, live like people who know these truths. Toward them that are without, redeeming the time. This was in the middle voice, which would mean that it has to do with buying up the time for ourselves. We have so much time that we can use, 168 hours a week. Some of that has to be spent in sleep and eating and so on, but a great deal of it is leisure time, especially here in America. And you and I have a responsibility to use our time in a way that will buy it up so that we'll have it to show for, have something to show for it at the end of this life. Let your grace, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So our speech should be on the subject of grace. It should be always with a gracious manner. This doesn't mean well-mannered particularly, but it has to do with the subject of grace itself. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, yet he who his poverty might be rich. And so having believed in the grace of God and having been saved by the grace of God, this is what should characterize our speech. We should talk about the grace of God, and we should be gracious in our speech to one another and toward the unsaved. And we should do this having our speech seasoned with salt. Now, not too much salt, not becoming bitter and harsh and hard, but just enough so that people know that we mean what we're saying. And he says, the Lord will teach you that you may know how you shall answer every man. The Lord will give wisdom so that when you have an opportunity to speak to somebody about the Lord, and you really want to buy up these opportunities, God will give you divine wisdom so that you'll be able to speak a word in season. You'll be able to say the right thing to the unsaved, to lead him to Christ. You'll be able to say the right thing to any Christian that you meet, to comfort him or to remind him of his responsibility or to bring him back to the Lord, passing on whatever God has given to us day by day. Our Father, we ask you to bless thy word to us now. We ask again for the salvation of the lost, and we pray for thy dear children that we may live as those who have been redeemed, showing to all around that we know the Lord Jesus. We ask it in his name. Amen.